Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
I want to ask you to take your Bibles and open them to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, I'd like to dismiss the children to Children's Church. The journey of hope. Ladies and gentlemen, we are not citizens of this world if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. You're citizens of another world. And as a result of being citizens of another world, we can endure difficulty and sacrifice and suffering because we know that we're living for another world. The book of 1 Peter is about that. We are sojourners. And because we are sojourners, we can endure difficulty, things we don't understand, difficulty that we may face, heartache, and even persecution. Those that received this letter of 1 Peter were those that were living in Rome that were receiving persecution, and more persecution was coming. And yet they were to stand fast in their faith because they knew they were living for another world. They were living for heaven, and they knew that they were going to receive their full salvation that was offered to them in Jesus Christ when the Lord comes again. And this is exactly what Peter writes to the people. So today, he is calling us to holiness. Now, the word holy means to be set apart. There is one side of us that wants to identify with those around us and to build a bridge. Paul said this. He said, I have become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. In other words, Paul said, I want to relate to people and be in this world. You know, the scripture says you are to be in the world but not of the world. So in one sense, we are to relate to those around us. And we are to build a bridge with them so that we might be able to introduce them to Christ. Our lives can be a fragrant aroma of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's face it. When you meet a true believer in Christ that loves people and love exudes from their life, you're attracted to them and you want to know what it is that makes them different. When you find out that it's Jesus Christ that has changed their life, then you're very open to the message of the gospel. So on the one sense, we are that way. On the other sense, in another way, to balance that out, we are to be holy. Now, it doesn't mean that we're perfect. The word holy, we equate that with like perfection. But the word holy means to be set apart. It means that a believer in Jesus Christ wakes up in the morning and instead of saying, what do I want to do today? A believer in Jesus Christ wakes up every day and says, Lord, what do you want me to do today? That's the difference. It's the lordship of your life. Who is the king? Who is the Lord? Who sits on the throne of your heart? I've heard it described in that way. When you see yourself as a sojourner, what is a sojourner? Someone who is a pilgrim passing through. Someone who's not home yet, they're just visiting. When you see yourself as a sojourner, then you realize that you can be set apart in this world. I think this is demonstrated in our culture. When the culture goes against what God teaches, then a sojourner says, you know, no matter what the world says, no matter what the culture is telling me to believe or the way the culture is telling me to live, I am going to live my life according to God's word. We saw that demonstrated in the book of Daniel, when Daniel, the young person who came from Judah, was captured into a foreign country, and he was asked to compromise his beliefs that God had given him in the Old Testament, and he said, I purposed in my heart that I would not defile myself. No matter what the price is, I am not going to go against what God's word teaches. And so, as a matter of fact, in Daniel's case, he made that commitment. And as a result, the people, the leaders, Nebuchadnezzar the king, saw such an excellent spirit in Daniel, he promoted him. And what we find What we find oftentimes in Scripture is those who are not lukewarm, but those that take a strong stand for the things of God and do it with love, many times they find favor with those in the culture who maybe don't even agree with what God says about things, and yet they respect that person who stands for what they believe. And so the book of 1 Peter is saying to people that are about to go through very difficult days, you are a sojourner. Your inheritance of salvation is not fully obtained yet. It will one day be obtained when you get to heaven. And so in light of that, you are to live a holy life, separated and holy before the Lord. And so today we come to this message, the sojourner and holiness. Now, we're only going to cover a few verses here. So this is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. You follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read from mine. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy. And by the way, where it says you also be holy in verse 15, that is the key imperative of this passage. God Almighty is saying to you, if you name the name Christ, if you say you are a believer in Christ, if you have been converted, if you have been saved, if you have been born again, then you are to be holy. Now, once again, this does not mean you're perfect, okay? If you ever doubt that, just ask your wife or your husband or your neighbor or a family member. They'll tell you quickly, no, you're not perfect, okay? But you can be set apart, okay? So that's the imperative. You also be holy in all your conduct. Verse 16, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. The sojourner and holiness. Now, there are just two things that we're given in this passage that really drive us to holiness as a sojourner. Here's number one. Set your mind on future salvation. Now, notice at the beginning of verse 13, it says, therefore. I've heard preachers say all my life, they say, whenever you see a therefore, you need to ask, what is it therefore? Okay? The therefore refers back to the first chapter, verses 3 through 9, that describes the salvation that has been offered to you in Christ Jesus. It is a salvation that is living. We have a living hope. You remember us last week talking about the world offers its options, but it's like cotton candy. The Lord says this is a living hope. It's real. When you bite into the will of God and you decide, I'm going to go with God, I promise you, you're in for a great journey. You're in for a journey of hope, a journey of blessing. And it's the real deal, because the world offers all kinds of substitutes, and it does not meet the deepest needs of your heart. And so you are to set your mind on future salvation. Now, the only imperative of this particular verse here is where it says rest in verse 13, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of the Lord Jesus. Hope in 1 Peter is like faith in Paul's writings. Peter wrote about hope. Paul wrote about faith. John wrote about believing. And then he says this phrase. I love this phrase. Look at the very beginning of the passage. Therefore, it says, gird up the loins of your mind. Here is a way to describe that in our vernacular. It means that we are to gear up, prepare your mind for action. It's the picture of someone who had a long tunic, like a robe. And the writer is saying, look, you are to tuck in the long flowing garments so that you can go to work or so that you can run. I remember when I was in middle school, I took a little shop class at my junior high, it was at the time. And there was a man in there that only had half of an index finger. He was our teacher. Now, that'll bless you, that you're working on saws and your instructor only has half of a finger. Well, he got it cut off one time. And he was all about safety. And he told us, he said, look, when you're about to work, you're about to cut wood, you want to make sure you don't have any loose clothing. This is kind of the idea here. He says, gird up the loins of your mind. In other words, don't let all of the distractions that come into your mind, gather them up and tuck them in and think about the future. Think about what's important. Gird up the loins of your mind. Prepare your mind for action. In other words, pull yourself together. Set your mind on future salvation. And then he says, be sober. You see that in the scripture. He says, gird up the loins of your mind, comma. Then he says, be sober. Now, this does not necessarily mean to not be drunk with wine. It's not necessarily not just don't get drunk, but sometimes we are just lulled into drowsiness by the cares of the world. Hope will not become a reality without disciplined thinking. For you to be holy in this world, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to gather your mind. You've got to remove distractions. You can't allow yourself to be drowsy with the distraction of this world, but you've got to gather it all together and say, you know what? God has called me to be holy. Therefore, I am going to be holy. And he has called me to think about the future. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is this. We are to set your hope fully on the grace by preparing your minds for action and by being sober. Notice when the grace is going to be brought. It's going to be brought at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, we have been given grace. Luke played Amazing Grace this morning along with the orchestra. It is Amazing Grace. But do you know this? All of the grace of God, we talked about this briefly last week, all of the grace of God has not been given to us yet. We have received, we have been saved, but I want you to know that we are going to receive another measure of God's saving grace when Jesus comes again. Think about this passage in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. It says this, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, that's talking about when the Lord comes again, when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Now, I want you to think about this. There are three facets to salvation. There are three angles to look at salvation. One is this. I have been saved. I was saved. That's past tense. Then, right now, I am being saved. God's grace is given to me to change, to be like Christ, to learn the character of God so that hopefully I am becoming more like the Lord wants me to become and to live that way. But then here's what we have not received yet. We have been saved. When Jesus died on the cross, we gave our lives to Christ. We have been saved. We are being saved. Okay? We will be saved. And that comes when Jesus comes again. Now, the bottom line is this. When you are a sojourner, you're not home yet. If you are an ambassador, let's say a military ambassador, you are representing your country, and the truth is you're acting in a way right then in that foreign country in order to please the one that you will face one day in the future when you go back home. And so in that way, we are to look to the future in order to live a holy life. So this longing, listen, a longing for the coming of the Lord permeates the New Testament. It is all over the New Testament. When you look into different books of the Bible, in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 11, Romans 11, 26, 1 Corinthians 15, 51, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Hebrews 9, James 5, 1 Peter 3, Revelation 1, 7, all these verses, and there are many of them, if you'd like those, I'll get them to you later, but all these verses talk about the longing of God's people for the coming of the Lord. And so as a result of that, we hope for the coming of the Lord, and it gives us the ability to live a holy life right now. I recently heard Lou Holtz in a commencement address. I saw it online. He said this, we need to keep things simple. He said, you know, there are only 7 colors of the rainbow. Keep it simple. He said, there are only 7 musical notes. He said, keep it simple. There are only 10 numbers, 10 integers. Put together, they make all this mathematics. There's 10 numbers. He said, let's keep it simple. We need something to do, we need someone to love, and we need something to hope for. Well, for the believer, we are to look forward to the coming of the Lord, because at that moment, we will see Jesus face to face. And as a result, we can endure whatever we have to endure right now. We can endure it because we know one day the Lord is coming again. It's kind of like sacrificing now for something in the future. I was thinking, I was trying to think of different ways we sacrifice for something to gain something in the future. I was thinking about those Gators last night. You know, I was thinking about all the practices when no one was there. I was thinking about high school athletes. We've got a guy here, Lucas Bell, who's on the Buchholz team. Man, they pulled one out Friday night. Well, when they were doing two-a-days over here at Buchholz, you know, no one was there cheering them on. Why were they willing to pay that price? Because they knew that those Friday nights were coming where they were going to be able to excel. I saw our buddy Jordan Castillo on television, on the broadcast. You know, those drumline guys, they like to be in the drumline because those TV guys like to show the drumlines, you know. So Jordan gets a little airtime every once in a while. I saw him there. Well, you know, there's a lot of practicing that those guys do. They do it because they're willing to sacrifice and do that practicing now for something in the future. I thought about investors. Somebody willing to sacrifice now for something in the future. By the way, some of y'all are more into this than I am, but I went and looked that over the last 50 years, according to this data that I looked at, the S&P 500, the 500 largest U.S. companies, over the last 50 years had an average annual return of 13%. I just thought about it for an 18-year-old. Is there an 18-year-old here? Raise your hand. 18. If you're 18, just raise your hand. Okay, we got some 18-year-olds, all right? Do you know that if you sacrificed a $2.50 coffee? Now, I know you can get a coffee cheaper, but sometimes you go and get one more expensive. So let's average it out. $2.50 coffee. Let's just say roughly $75 a month if you go every day. I figured this out, that if you mowed 3 yards, now I know you're getting major degrees, you know, and you're going to make big bucks one day, but I just figured this out. Now, and I know that the percentage rate may not hold true for the next 50 years, but if you're 18 and you mowed 3 yards in a month, $25 a yard, that's a pretty good deal, by the way, if you can get your yard mowed for $25, pretty good deal. So give them a good deal, but take those 3 yards and put that money away every month. When you're 70, if the returns are the same, you'll have $4.5 million. I thought about it for Coley. Coley's 12. Coley, go out and get you 3 yards. You can come cut my grass, and I'll... You can't do it every month because I got some other guys trying to cut my grass, but I'll give you your first one. For 58 years until you're 70, he's 12, if you sacrifice $75 a month, if you get the same rate, now that's a big if, I know that, it'll be $9.5 million. But I think, by the way, I've looked at that plan. I looked at it. I didn't do it. I just looked at it. But I just enjoyed the $25 going for gas or going for, you know, the coffee. In order to live holy, you've got to gird up the loins of your mind. Tuck in all the junk that's stopping you from excelling. And be sober. Think. You serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and one day you are going to receive an eternity in heaven with Him. So therefore, it makes it worth it to sacrifice right now. We got the podcast going. That's awesome. I love it. You sacrifice now knowing that one day you're going to have an eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe. So, I want to suggest to you that the Christian has been given the ultimate hope. The ultimate hope. The ultimate hope is that salvation is ours in Christ, and when He comes again, it will be fully delivered. Yes, we have salvation. Yes, we can know we're saved. But ladies and gentlemen, do you know that all of salvation has not been delivered? Now, I know that for us, now think about this. I want us to put ourselves in this mode. For us right here, we may get laughed at perhaps for our faith in Christ. I think that down the road we may face some more persecution than we face today in this country. But I want you to put yourself in the place of those that receive this writing. The Roman Caesar was about to turn on the believers. About AD 64, it was going to happen. And they were about to be physically persecuted. Now, can I say this, and we all know this, that there are places in this world right now, and listen, we enjoy our place right here. We are blessed. We are here in this wonderful building with air conditioning and padded seats and everything. But I want to remind you there are places on this planet right now where there are those who are being killed. Now, you may say, well, Pastor, I don't know how much 1 Peter really relates. Well, you know, can I say this? If it's not just for us to get on our face and pray for those around the world that are hurting, if for no other reason, we ought to study this book. And by the way, isn't it convicting to think that there are those who all they have, they do not have the ability to do what I asked Coley to do and these college students to do. They don't have that ability. They're in some country and they are running for their lives because their lives are in danger. And yet they are counting the cost and saying, you know what? I know that one day my salvation is going to be fully delivered to me. And so for that reason, I am going to stand for Christ. I am going to be holy. I am going to be set apart for the Lord. It's very convicting to me when I don't want to give a word for Christ because of maybe a little embarrassment, maybe a little challenge, maybe I'm not sure how they're going to say. Maybe that person's so educated, I'm wondering, what do they think that this Christian life is just for those that have blind faith? Can I say this to you? it is very convicting to think that there are those whom this word we're studying right now as a sojourner, they are receiving the strength to endure physical persecution. And you will not even give a word for Christ at the 7-Eleven or the Publix or whatever, or to our neighbors, and myself is included. We're not standing for Christ the way we are. We're not loving this lost world the way we should. But what is our reasoning for being a sojourner and being set apart for the Lord? It is the fact that we are setting our mind on future salvation. Folks, we're not home yet. So we live for Christ unashamedly right now in this world because we're not home yet. Number two, quickly, you set your path on obedience. It says, as obedient children. Verse 16, as obedient children, excuse me, verse 14. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance. It's interesting, that word, not conforming, is the same word that Paul uses in Romans chapter 12, one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And that is a good picture of a sojourner. A sojourner says, look, I'm not home yet. I want to be a living sacrifice for God. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And Paul says, by the way, it makes sense. Make no mistake about it, ladies and gentlemen. It totally makes sense for you to say, I'm not my own anymore. I am fully dedicated to Jesus Christ after what he's done for me. That is reasonable. And then he says this, and be not conformed to this world, and that's the same word we find in verse 14. Not conforming. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word conform there means to be pressed into a mold. And that's what the world is trying to do to us, ladies and gentlemen. That's what the culture, that's what we used to talk about with teenagers, peer pressure. I learned something about peer pressure. It's not just for teenagers. Peer pressure is for all of us. There are those in our work world. There are those in our family. There are those in the places where we recreate who want to press us into the mold that they're in. And the Bible is telling us, look, because you're a sojourner, because of what Christ has done for you, you will not allow yourself to be pressed into a mold. But you dedicate yourself to the Lord, that you will be obedient to the Lord. The Phillips translation says it this way, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold, but let God remold your minds from within. It talks of the former lust. Before we came to know Christ, the way we lived, in our ignorance. How can we do this? Because we have been called in verse 15. And he says there, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Now, some point to the example of the Old Testament in Leviticus where it says, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God, according to the doings of the land of Egypt, where you dwelt, you shall not do, and according to the doings of the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you, you shall not do, nor shall you walk in their ordinances. You shall observe my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk in them. I am the Lord your God. Then he takes this whole concept of holiness and he grounds it in this last verse of Scripture in verse 16. Let me start with verse 15. He says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And many believe that he's quoting from somewhere in Leviticus, and some think it's verse 2 of chapter 19 of Leviticus that says this, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. A major on a military base has a Jeep that is dedicated to him. The Jeep is reserved for the major. It is at his disposal. Someone of lesser rank better not get in that Jeep and take that Jeep and take it off. Why? Because that Jeep is dedicated to that major for his transportation. In the same way, you as a believer, I hope you know what you signed up for. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you're like a vessel to God. And you said, Lord, I'm yours. So I would say it to you this way. You get up in the morning, you say, oh man, I would love to go over here and do this. You say, oh, wait a minute, Lord, you want me to go over there? Okay, I'm going to go over there. To a young person, they fall in love with somebody. They say, Lord, I think I fall in love with them. And the Lord may say, well, wait a minute. I want you to back off of that situation. Well, they back off. You know why? Because you are at the disposal of God. And so you say, Lord, what do you want these hands to do today? I want you to use these hands. Where do you want these feet to take me? What do you want my mouth to say? What do you want, listen, my eyes to see? And so, as a result of that, you become a sojourner. You become a vessel to God. You become, listen, holy. Doesn't mean you're perfect. It just means you're set apart. You're set apart for the Lord. When Moses was called to go deliver the people from Egypt, he said, Lord, I'm not adequate. How am I going to do it? And the Lord said, I will be with you. And then he said, but if they ask me, who sent me? What do I say? And he said, you tell them that I am sent you. What does that mean, that I am? Who is I am? What the Lord was saying is, whatever you need, Moses, I will meet your need. I am what you need in that moment. Can I say this to you? You say, I have a difficult circumstance I'm in. I have a difficult relationship that I'm in, but I know what the Lord wants me to do. I know He wants me to be set apart for Him. What am I going to do? You always know that what you need, God will supply for you, and it will be worth it. It will be worth it when we get to heaven, because we have that future hope of heaven before us. You remember the great hymn, and I'll close with this. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. It will be worth it all when we see Him. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.